Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, cloudy sky, still some isolated morning showers possible. High in the low 60s for today. Kenosha right now is at 46. In Burlington, it's 49. Milwaukee, 42. 44 degrees in Racine. Brief, intense, and damaging. Three words to describe a storm system that rolled with southeast Wisconsin between about 2 and 2:30 this morning, resulting in a lot of cleanup and fix-up. We Energy is indicating some 20,000 customers affected in its southeast Wisconsin service area, including Racine and Kenosha counties, but also mainly Metro Milwaukee. Damage-wise, plenty of trees, tree limbs, power poles, and lines came down all over the area. Caledonia's Highway H between 5 Mile Road and Highway G, poles and wires down, prompting its closure. Debris reported everywhere as well. A shed on top of power lines by the Douglas Avenue Kmart site. Construction barrels and equipment moved from the Spring Street Green Bay Road location. During the storm activity, Raymond fire crew sent out to a home at 3653, that is, South 51st Street, a fire call that turned into a mutual aid box alarm response. That prompted crews and equipment from Caledonia, Kansasville, the city of Racine, town of Paris, South Milwaukee, and Franklin, to name a few. While declared under control, the incident commander said there were a lot of hot spots still being chased inside. He also really needed We Energies on scene, but of course their crews were busy with the storm problems. Before all this began, a semi tipped onto its side along southbound I-94 near 7 Mile Road in Racine County. Driver had to be extricated and went to the hospital with some back injuries. As was mentioned, the statewide tornado exercise is coming up today with a mock watch and warning issued in the 1 o'clock hour this afternoon. Same thing is going to be happening in the 6 o'clock hour this evening. Now, a lot of people think that Lake Michigan protects Racine County and others from tornadoes, but it's only one of the many myths that has to be debunked every year during this Tornado and Severe Weather Awareness Week. Racine County's Emergency Management Coordinator David Mack says history and the numbers really tell the truth.
On May 18, 1883, we had a tornado that hit the north side of the city of Racine, just blocks from Lake Michigan, and that still ranks as one of the top 10 killer tornadoes in state history. And more currently, we've had several years back, if you remember, we had three tornadoes in one year, and two of them were in the Mount Pleasant, Racine area. So the lake does not protect us from tornadoes.
Max says another myth, opening up a window at home or at work to equalize the pressure. It's really meaningless, he says, since most tornado damage is from strong winds and debris hitting the structure. And not every tornado is visible because what you normally observe is all the debris in the rotating wind instead of the true indicator of the loud roar like a train. And Mack notes that not even a train can outrun a tornado or your vehicle. Twisters move at up to 70 miles per hour in directions, but they also shift directions without warning. A convicted sex offender from Racine County, whose placement in Kenosha County led to a court battle, is going to be released soon in Monroe County. Michael McGee, convicted in 1986 of second-degree sexual assault and burglary after raping a woman during a break-in. When he was released from treatment last year, he was placed in a home on Highway 50 in the town of Wheatland in Kenosha County by Racine Circuit Court Judge Alan Torhorst, that after no suitable housing could be found in Racine County. Well, neighbors there complained, including one family with a one-year-old, and Kenosha County went to court, said McGee's placement did not follow state statutes for releasing sex offenders in their home counties. Online court records indicate an appeal in that case is still pending. A news release from the Monroe County Sheriff's Office says McGee has to be released from a state treatment facility before May 1st. A woman in Racine facing four counts of first offense driving while intoxicated with minor children in the vehicle. She was arrested Tuesday afternoon by Mount Pleasant police. They were notified of a reckless driver. The car stopped on Highway 20 west of 90th Street. Court documents had officers indicating 34-year-old Jillian Condell as she was taking the kids ages 11 to 13 to the movies. She was on numerous medications, drank vodka and soda about an hour earlier, according to reports. Officers also found a cup that appeared to contain alcohol in the middle console of the vehicle. She was in court yesterday, pleading not guilty. Will be back in court next month. Mount Pleasant's Plan Commission supporting the site plan for a new Quick Trip gas station, convenience store, and car wash at the site of the former Toyota dealership at 6801 Washington Avenue. Village Community Development Director Sam Schultz says it's going to be a 10,000 square foot project, and a traffic analysis is going to result in some modifications by the Sunny Slope Drive intersection.
The applicant prepared a traffic impact analysis TIA for the project, which recommended closing the left out both north and southbound on Warwick Way by restrictive median improvement. The TIA also recommended realigning the southern leg of the Highway 20 Sunny Slope Drive signalized intersection access with corresponding turn lane median improvements. In follow-up letter, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, WSDOT, required these improvements as conditions to allow Quick Trip access to Highway 20. The Highway 20 Sunny Slope Drive improved intersection also includes reconfigured and enhanced shared access to the adjacent Rocky Rococo restaurant.
Leah Berlin, representing Quick Trip, said this would mainly involve the north end of the property. Quick Trip technically still does not own the site. The actual construction may not begin till early spring next year, though the old Toyota dealership building is expected to be razed this year. Quick Trip currently has stores at Highway 11 and Oaks Road, Highway 20 and the East Frontage Road, and Spring Street west of Green Bay Road. A request for additional funding from the City of Kenosha for a project to create apartments in the former YMCA building in Library Park narrowly won approval from the City Council this week. A federal loan fell through, so the developer requested more home loan funding, bringing the total to $800,000. But Alderman John Fox, representing that particular area, said he couldn't support the project. Noting only 10% of the apartments to be developed would be market rate, and the downtown area, he said, deserves better.
I know the developer cannot do a better percentage on the market rate on these units. And again, you know, we are spending millions of dollars downtown. Just in 1 year, look at what we've done. One year from now, everything's going to be different again. Some of you feel that this is going to be good for the second district. I'd like to see you put this project in your districts.
Alderman Scott Gordon said the developer had indicated to him it's a make or break decision on this project.
The reason we're in this position is because the current federal administration changed the tax credits, how they do business, and now there's a shortfall. It's not that they have squandered any money or anything.
Meanwhile, the vote to approve the funding ended in a tie. Mayor John Antaramian said he was concerned about losing the building, so he voted yes. Said he's kicking in $300,000 in TIF money for the project, a total proposed commitment now of $1.1 million. The northwest corner of Green Bay Road and Spring Street is land owned by the Racine Library Board in Mount Pleasant. A proposed housing project depends on the end of a sewer connection moratorium in the village, proving that it's no longer exceeding its sewer system flow rate to the Racine Water Wastewater Utility. During the village's plan commission meeting and the rezoning request that was requested by the developers, Community Development Director Sam Schultz said that the moratorium could be lifted by the end of next year. Jeff Rothbart said that they have not yet done a market study, at least not at this point, due to the moratorium and not wanting to spend that money until they get confirmation the project can go forward.
You know, we could get a report today and the moratorium could go another 18 months and it could be out of date and the product need would be different. We'd have to just re-spend that money. So no is the answer to that question. You know, the one thing that I will say, you know, we've taken a look at some of the other, you know, there was a comment about there's already a lot of apartments or something like that. And we've taken a look at a lot of them and you know, I think that some of them are dated and show that they're a little tired.
Village planners had recommended the divided approach, beginning with the rezoning, given the moratorium. Once it's lifted, then the site plan plus an anticipated traffic impact study would be forthcoming. Aldermen in Racine and members of a couple of committees in Racine and Kenosha are going to be taking road trips today. The WRJN's Janet Hoff indicates this is kind of a tour of developmental areas that a lot of folks may not be aware of.
The Racine Community Development Committee will be taking a walking tour this afternoon of housing being developed in the Uptown neighborhood. The members are scheduled to stop at 1437 Owen Avenue, 1922 Slauson Avenue, and 1531 Packard Avenue. The tour is scheduled to begin at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The Kenosha City Plan Commission is embarking on a bus tour of more than two dozen development sites around the city and in surrounding areas. The tour will start at City Hall, stop at sites that include the Vincent McCall Building, the Chrysler Engine Plant site, and the Kenosha Industrial Park expansion site. The sites of the proposed Aurora Healthcare facility and Fleet Farm west of I-94 are included, along with several retail areas and large employers. Kenosha residents can meet the bus at any of the locations and can find out its current location at any time during the tour by calling 653-4287. The tour is also scheduled to begin at 5. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
WRJN newscast available in podcast form on our webpage. Go to WRJN.com, look in the local news section. Also, WRJN news updates and status reports, you can get those at WRJN News anytime on Twitter. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.